And let me grab my notes and the Bible. And I have these last two verses, which I don't know how you feel about these verses, but when I first read them, I thought, I wonder how I got these verses. They're a little bit obscure when you first read them, but they are so rich as you get down and understand them. So I'm going to jump back and start at verse 8 to get the context and read on down through the end to verse 13. So if you read with me. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it, all of it. But he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. And if you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So this is where the passage starts that I have. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We're going to slow down and pick that apart. I want to start with a little bit of a story just to relate. These are the situations that Barb and I and Pastor face as counselors, and some of you also do some counseling and talking to people. I talk to a lot of folks who struggle with unforgiveness. They come into the counseling room and they're eaten up with troubles and bitterness and hard feelings towards other people. I'm not naive as to think in a group this size that there may be somebody here that's struggling with some hard feelings and difficulty towards others. Sometimes it's a wife. The last person that I counseled, the second time her husband had been unfaithful to her and cheated on her. The first time is almost so hard for anyone to take. The second time, when she looks into your eyes and says, as the counselor, she says to me, I don't know if I can ever trust him again. I don't know if I can get over this. Sometimes it's someone that has been mistreated by another family member in a very terrible way. Sometimes it's a fellow church member that they're a Christian and you don't think they would act that way or talk to you that way, and it hurts your feelings. And if we're human beings and we're honest, we are prone to bitterness and unforgiveness and broken feelings and broken relationships. You may wonder how these two verses attach to those problems at all. Well, they attach very, 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 very much, because what we're going to learn from these two verses is about the amazing, powerful mercy of God. Even in daily challenges, brothers and sisters, you may not be facing a severe problem here, but we live in a broken world. People treat other people badly, unfairly. They cause deep hurt. And how do you respond, even in small ways, inside when people mistreat you? How do you instruct your children, your grandchildren, your brothers and sisters, your friends, when they come to you with hurt from other people? What hope can we give to those who have been deeply betrayed and hurt by other people? How can God be glorified and honored when we face these deep human situations? Well, the Epistle of James is here to help us with that tonight. God has not left us without a word, and we've got the Scriptures. The Epistle of James was written to instruct believers on how to live out their faith in practical ways. This is a book for believers. The two verses that I have are this conclusion to James' exhortation to believers to repent of this sin of partiality and favoritism. So as we look at this instruction that he gave them specifically to deal with this problem, we're going to see some principles about God's mercy, that if you will take this seriously this evening, you will be filled with an ability and a capacity by God's grace to overcome this in your life and to help other believers overcome these problems of bitterness and unforgiveness in their lives. The first thing we need to see is a distinction. You know, we think in distinctions. Black, white, left, right, up, down, light, dark, day, night, mercy with judgment, mercy without judgment. That's the distinction that James gives us. And then I got it wrong. It's judgment with mercy and judgment without mercy. The bottom line is, brothers and sisters, we're all going to face the judgment of God. We're all going to give an account for our life. Some are going to face the judgment of God with mercy. If you have Christ tonight, you have the mercy of God. Some are going to face the judgment of God without mercy. They are going to answer fully and completely for their hearts and their action towards God. We need to see that distinction tonight because in this passage, James talks about that. Verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment." We are all going to face judgment, some of us with mercy, some of us without. If you're a saved person tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've bowed the knee and confessed Him as Lord, and you've put your faith and trust in Him, and you belong to Him, and you love Him, you have judgment you're facing from God, but you have one at your side. You have one that died for you. You have one that shed His blood. You have one that covered you, and you can face that judgment with mercy. That's much different than facing judgment without mercy. So what James is saying here, if you're showing favoritism and you're showing this partiality, this is sin, just like adultery, just like murder, because the law can't be broken. It's all together. And you are treating poor people poorly. You are treating people with partiality. That means you're showing partial mercy to some that you maybe think can do something for you. But to the ones that have nothing to give you, you don't want to give them any attention or any mercy or any kindness because they can't really benefit you, or they can't benefit our church. So why would we give them? And James saying, this ought not to be, brothers and sisters. What we need to do is we need to treat people in a way that would be appropriate for a person that has received mercy. If you've received the mercy of God tonight, that is the answer of how we need to treat people. We need to treat people in light of the fact that we have received mercy. Not just to friends, not just to privilege, not just to people that are easy to love, but to the undeserving, the difficult, the downtrodden, the unlovely, the unkind. Dare I say our enemies and those who hate us and use us and despise us, as Jesus said. This is the appropriateness. What is my condition apart from the mercy of God? I am poor, I am hungry, I am destitute, I am naked, I am needy, I am undeserving. Oh, I deserve something from God. I deserve His judgment. I've rebelled, I've gone my own way. And He rightfully needs to cast me into judgment, into fire forever because I've gone my own way. I've despised His goodness. That's the condition of everyone in this room. We come into the world with that nature. We express it as fallen people. And because of that, God owes us judgment, yet He is a merciful. Aren't you glad God is merciful and He's kind? And He sent His Son so that not only could He be just and the judge, He could also be merciful and loving and kind and forgiving. And if we're in Christ, we receive this mercy. And brothers and sisters, what James is saying here, it's unconscionable to think that a person as wicked as you and me that has received this mercy would not give it freely, unconditionally to everyone. Why would we show dispartiality and discrimination? So James in these earlier verses pointed out that this is sin and this is a breaking of the royal law of love. And he's saying the answer is you need to look at who you are. You are one who's received mercy. How dare you withhold it from anyone? How dare you be partial? This mercy, I've received so that I may give it. God has saved us unto good works. God has saved us to display His mercy and His light and His goodness. He doesn't give it His goodness for us to pile it up on ourselves. He wants us to let it flow and show His mercy and His greatness through us. And if you can't show mercy, maybe it's because you don't really have it. In fact, Jesus said it this way, if you want to have God's mercy, you need to give it. If you want God's forgiveness, you need to forgive. And I'm saying, as a sinner, I don't have the capacity to show mercy. And I don't have the capacity to forgive. And I need to fall on my knees and receive what I don't have so that I can give it. Because when you give it, you evidence that you have it. That's the little play on words here. Because I have received mercy, I can show mercy. On the contrary, as one who has received mercy, I now have capacity to show the merciful love of God. What is this love of God? This love of God is a power that cannot be stopped by evil. I now have a grace within my heart that enables me to love the unlovely, to be kind to those who are mean to me and harm me, to rejoice in persecution, and to live more than a conqueror. The love of God cannot be defeated, brothers and sisters. The mercy of God is a powerful force. In fact, James says right here in the verse that mercy triumphs over judgment. The judgment of God is a fearful thing as people face sinners in the hand of an angry God, as we would hear from the Puritans. There is one thing greater than that power of God that will judge the wicked for eternity, and it is the mercy and the love of God. It triumphs over that judgment. We have that within our hearts. We have that within our lives. We have that capacity. You can be free from bitterness. You can be free from resentment, hatred, and self-righteous pride because of the mercy of God. Not because you have this inner strength to do it, but because Jesus died on the cross and because He's risen from the dead. And through that, we have all that we need to bring Him honor and glory and live in this life. And brothers and sisters, if He providentially brings you into a relationship, into people that despise you and hate you, or that misuse you, or just irritate you and get on your nerves, God has given you the gift of mercy to give. What is mercy? It's not deserved, is it? That's by definition. Well, they don't deserve my mercy. You don't deserve God's mercy. It's not based on earning it. It's not based on walking through these church doors and we determine whether that person's good enough to receive the mercy of God. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come for the good. I came from the poor. I came to the ones that don't have. That's what James has been saying. I have been given an unconditional, undeserved love and kindness that is unlimited and abundant. James says it this way in the other verse. We are ones that are going to be judged by the law of liberty. Let's talk about that phrase a little bit. Another odd phrase. The law of liberty. I have been set free from fear and condemnation. I am free from my sin, legally. I am free from the penalty of my sin because my Savior bore it at Calvary. I am free from the power of sin. As I choose to walk in the Spirit and obey Christ, He enables me to triumph over sin in my life. And one day, when I see Him, I'll be totally delivered from the very presence of sin when I see my Savior face to face. Oh, for sure we struggle, for sure we fall, but we have no excuse because we have a Savior that's risen. He died and He rose and He overcame sin in our behalf. And so now we can walk as free people, free to do as our flesh desires. God forbid, as Paul would say, free to serve, brothers and sisters, free to love the unlovely, free to be merciful to people that don't deserve it, like us, free to show the greatness of our God in our lives. When you have trials, pray for wisdom. Pray for God to show you how to apply the mercy. So, I want to wrap this up with this application. The first application is, every person will face the judgment of God. Do you have God's mercy or not? Facing the judgment of God without mercy, you will spend an eternity in judgment and hell and punishment. If you cannot show mercy, you don't feel that that capacity is there and you can't find it, perhaps you need to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Maybe that's an evidence that you really have religion, but you don't have the love of God in your heart. But God will freely give it if you will humble yourself and ask. The second application is for those of us, I think most of us in this room who have received this mercy. Do you see it as a privilege to share it? Ask God to show you, even as our brothers have talked about how you perhaps have been showing favoritism and you've been a little less than merciful with some people. If you see problems, confess them. He's faithful and just to cleanse you of your sin and hypocrisy. It's hypocritical for us to be lacking mercy with how God has treated us. And you will start to enjoy the blessing and the loveliness and the glorious life of giving mercy and kindness to people that don't deserve it. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And if you have a particular struggle with forgiveness, I encourage you to visit the cross in the Scriptures and to visit the epistles of Paul in the Scripture and to meditate on what Christ did for you. The gospel will set you free and the gospel will empower you, because, brothers and sisters, we're transformed by our mind changing, our mindset. It starts in our hearts and our minds. We need our minds renewed. When you see the truth of who you were and who you even are, and the truth of who your Savior is, you cannot hate other people. Pray for the person that has offended or hurt you. Ask for God to give His mercy to them. And finally, look for simple opportunities to give mercy. I'll end with a fun one. Connie and I eat out fairly often. And as you know, as a business coach, service is terrible. People are overwhelmed. The question is, when it comes time to tip, do you tip based on what's deserved, or do you tip based on what's merciful? I'll leave you with that. Thank you.